Biotic.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
An all-star cast on the Paracast with Gene and Chris, with Kurt Southerly, Jerry Clark, Rick Hilberg, Nancy Talbot. Notice I am varying those names because I do not want to see anyone get first billing except me and Chris, of course, because we are egomaniacs. We're colossal egomaniacs. I wanted to make that clear, right? But anyway, Nancy, you were going to say something after the comment from Kurt about the way we'd engage in discussions of UFOs then, and how it differs from some of these UFO conferences that are more entertainment than information. Just get all the whack jobs in one room, doesn't matter what their point of view is, whether those point of views have any authority, but let's bring the people in.
Yeah, the problem, obviously, it costs money to put these things on, and in order to get the people in, most of the promoters, or many of the promoters nowadays, the bottom line is what they're interested in rather than the subject matter. And so the conferences end up being, my impression of almost all the others where I've spoken is that, oh, my God, this is just entertainment. This is it's a party. It's nobody's interested in really thinking about these hard questions about, what is it that is going on. And I find it, in one sense, discouraging, because I want to get into the nitty-gritty of the stuff that I know and hear the nitty-gritty of what other people know. But then I also think, well, as you know, and you know it better than I, there is still a very small number of us who know there's really something going on. It's not a joke. There really is. The question, of course, is what is it? And sometimes I think that maybe these other conferences, which are set up really more for entertainment, maybe at least they are reaching some people and giving a little bit of a clue to new people, that there is something here that's worthy of some real study, I hope.
Well, I know one of the concerns I've had is that MUFON, which is supposedly this very serious scientific organization, they've liberalized the agenda at their events, so some of the more questionable viewpoints are being presented. And I have to look at MUFON, and I can understand it partly because consider this organization. It's been there since the 1960s, and they only have 2,700 members as of the beginning of this year. They're making some big membership drive to increase the members. And I have to think, you're telling me, with people around the world, so much interest in UFOs, that one of the longest surviving organizations on the planet can only get 2,700 people to join up? What's wrong with this picture?
I think that the whole model of the UFO organization is probably becoming obsolete, yet another victim of the Internet. I don't think that organizations perform the same function they used to. For example, you were talking about the conferences and the so on, the social meetings. Internet discussion is really, I think, in the place of those things. I think that it's replaced them. And people can get their fix every day just going to the Internet on UFO updates or some other discussion group. I think that, I agree that we've lost something. There's no question that those kinds of personal connections, those face-to-face conversations, which for one thing are more likely to be polite if they're face-to-face than just dealing with someone anonymously on the Internet. But I'm afraid the UFO organization, I say that as someone deeply involved in the Center for UFO Studies for many years, is really going the way of the dodo.
I agree with Jerry on that, yes.
The money part of it, what a lot of people don't realize, or they don't think about, I guess, is the amount of money it takes to do sophisticated scientific work. It costs a lot of money. And, of course, not everybody's got a lot of money, and most of us interested don't have it. And what I've discovered, much to my horror, is that the few people who have come on the scene who do have money, and everybody's well aware of that, unfortunately also turn out to be almost always control freaks. which means they want their particular opinions or their ideas to be represented by whomever they fund. I've had people come to me several times wanting me to do work for them in exchange for money. The problem being that I am supposed to then come up with the kind of information they want to hear. And I can't do that. I mean, I simply can't. And so I can't take the money.
So, Nancy, what you're saying
is... And I think this is true maybe for other people, too.
Nancy, are you saying that these individuals, if I get this correctly, they've already come to a conclusion about whatever phenomenon, the nature of the phenomenon, they want research, and then they want you to provide research that fits their conclusion? Is that essentially
it what appears to me that they have agendas, which I'm not always sure what they are. But for me, the agenda is exactly what Levengood and Dr. Reynolds and Dr. Eberl now, what all of these people say is that you follow the data and you have to deal with the data. You can't throw out some of it just because you don't like it. I mean, you're trying to come up with some overall explanation. You've got to deal with wherever it takes you. And my sense, I know, in fact, in one case, that there was some agenda already existing, and I was expected, if I were to take that money, to produce evidence that would back it up.
Nancy, I'm going to have to ask the question because it's going to occur to everybody. Would you care to name some names here?
You know, I think we've got enough baloney flying around amongst people. Seriously, I don't see any benefit in causing more hurt feelings than I perceive to be running rampant already. Anybody who's serious and is approached this way, they very quickly figure it out for themselves. They know, you can tell. And the general audience doesn't need to know because they're not going to be approached anyhow.
So I guess the other question we could all jump in and chime in here is, how do we take, and we'll make MUFON the example or prototype of a classic UFO research organization. How do we make that relevant in the 21st century? And we can just go round robin here. Chris, what do you think?
Well, I'll name names.
Please.
One person I think that does kind of run counter to Nancy's observation of the nature of money and control, especially in the field of ufology, there's one name that does kind of run counter to that, and that's Lawrence Rockefeller.
I was going to say Rockefeller was not one of those people, Chris.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Lawrence was an exception to that rule, but the Joe Firmages, the Robert Bigelows, the John Rayos, other people that over the years have gotten into the field tend to be, I think, agenda-driven, and as Nancy pointed out, they're looking for people to come up with the kind of data and the quality of data that will somehow bolster their own preconceived ideas. And that's unfortunate because it does stifle, the true spirit of field research and field investigation and the analytical process that then follows the investigative work. So
in summary here, Chris, you're saying, say, a Robert Bigelow, and I don't know the guy, okay? I only know what I read about him, that he says, I think UFOs, whatever, are thus and so. So I will take my money and prove thus and so. He's not interested in hearing something that doesn't meet with his expectations.
You know, I think Bigelow is kind of a special case. I think that he has a very closely held personal beliefs about this subject that relate to the passing of his son and also the obsession of trying to figure out the propulsion diagnostics of these craft. And I think that he hires very good people and has them staff his investigative work, but then he's very, very closed off for any outside input. His organization, the National Institute of Discovery Sciences, which has now been defunct for a number of years, I think they had blinders on a bit and were overly cautious about the kinds of cases that they were willing to investigate. And, of course, as many of our listeners know, he bought the infamous Sherman Ranch up in Utah and for 15, 16, 17 years has manned that ranch.
I'll tell you what, we'll get into more of that in a moment with Chris and Gene. You're in
the Paracast.
Mm-hmm. So here's what happened. I was placing an order online. The site went down. It just stopped responding. It took hours before it returned, but I'd already placed the order with another company. If your site goes down, you could lose business. And if you have a business or personal site, you'll want to know it's easy to run and it will stay online. At iWeb, your site is hosted on one of the most reliable networks in the world. Check it out. iWeb.com. That's iWeb.com.
You expect professional service from your doctor, your accountant, and even the girl who takes your morning coffee order. Why not from your domain registrar, too? Namecheap.com provides stellar service with no sneaky upselling. We offer more features and security options for your website than there are ways to order a latte. And new domains come with WhoisGuard to protect your personal info. At Namecheap.com, you can get your domain for as low as $2.99. Now is a great time to get to know Namecheap.com.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, shipyards, tow line, or boating. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive 100 feet of 550 paracord free with purchase. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
Iodine protection packs from hempusa.org are now in stock for immediate delivery worldwide. Our iodine protection packs include microplant powder, green life kelp, red palm oil, and our clear roll-on iodine that will feed the body the iodine it needs. All iodine protection packs are in stock. Save you money and ship for free in all 50 states. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
If you're taking 1, 2, 5 or more nutritional supplements, please stop. Simplify your supplementation with Bio Superfood, the most advanced nutritional whole food supplement you can buy. Men, women, children, even Olympic athletes the world over have discovered Bio Superfood from BioAge.com. And now take just one nutritional supplement instead of many. The Bio Superfood formulas are whole food products composed with 4 of the most nutrient-dense algae found on Earth. Bio Superfood for the brain helps with focus, memory, clarity, and mood. If you can increase brain health, the rest of the body is a no-brainer. Bio Superfood has zero toxicity and is safe for you and your family. Learn more and order your Bio Superfood formulas at BioAge.com, spelled BioAge.com, BioAge.com, or call 877-288-9116. That's 877-288-9116. BioAge, the age of advanced organics.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And if you'd like to catch up on past episodes, we have hundreds of shows for you to download direct from theparacast.com. That's theparacast.com. Or check us out at iTunes.
With Gene and Chris, you're in the Paracast with Kurt Sutherly, Jerry Clark, Rick Hilberg, Nancy Talbot. And you were telling us, Chris, of course, he bought the Sherman Ranch, Bob Bigelow, and what's the rest of the story?
Well, a big curtain went down, and his team up there, world-class scientists, for many years were doing, you know, what we would assume to be world-class science, and yet except for the Hunt for the Skinwalker book, which is filled with inaccuracies, did not have any data in it, photographs, and people weren't named on the record. It was more of a PR kind of scenario that was trying to placate interest and give us all a bone, basically, so that we would not ask the deep, tough, probing scientific questions about what they were actually doing up there and what they were uncovering. And it's the secrecy that surrounds Bigelow that I think is the main issue. I think he is fairly open-minded, but if you're gonna get involved in this game, there's a lot of talent out there that I think should be tapped, and in my opinion, has not been tapped.
Now, Rick Herberg, you and I were involved in a number of UFO conferences over the years.
Right.
Originally, it was called the Conference of Scientific Ufologists, became the National UFO Conference. I sponsored it 1 year and lost some money. I guess everybody loses money from these things. So having been there, having done that, what do you think can and should be done to straighten this stuff out?
Well, regarding the question of how can organizations like MUFON actually be relevant in the 21st century, I think part of the problem of not only MUFON, but a lot of the other individuals and other organizations is that they are basically operating from the viewpoint that UFOs are proven as being real physical craft from elsewhere. And quite frankly, we just don't have that proof yet. And this may be part of the problem, you know, in my opinion. I think objectivity is maybe needed somewhat. That it hasn't been. But you're right, some of those early UFO conferences, you talk about the glitz and the entertainment that's going on in the guise of a conference these days. In the early days, the whole thrust behind the Congress of Scientific Ufologists was to exchange information and cooperate with other organizations and individuals. The conferences that we had with public speakers, it was all information. The people would actually, you know, not talk about their encounters with the Greys or whatever, but they would just basically talk about, you know, what evidence they had and present that evidence.
You know, another problem that we've all got, and I have become much more informed, much better informed about the whole UFO field because I've made it my business to partly with the help of Lou and this conference. But I think one of the major problems we've all got is the growing amount of information indicates that the UFO situation, as well as the crop circles and many other anomalous phenomena, are extraordinarily complex. This is not a simple problem. It's not something easy to understand. And expecting people with very little funding and in many cases very little professional expertise of any sort to solve something that appears to me to be extraordinarily complex, perhaps interdimensional, perhaps extraterrestrial, perhaps directly related to human consciousness or Jung's collective unconscious. There's so many ways to approach this now that expecting amateur groups with no help to answer all these questions, it's a bit of a jump, you know? I mean, you look at the huge amount of money.
I completely agree, Nancy. That is a very good.
Look at the amount of money pumped into cancer research, and we still have no answer to that, do we?
I think the amount of money they pump into cancer research in 1 week is more than we pump into UFO research over 10 years.
Yeah.
Probably over.
Brad Sparks has estimated that 6 months total of actual funded scientific research on UFOs has been done since the beginning of the UFO controversy in 1947. Ufologists spend a lot of time beating each other up as if it's their fault that they haven't made great progress in the subject, when in fact, they, as Nancy just said, they lack the funding, they lack the expertise, they lack the resources. And this thing is so much bigger and more complicated than we can handle. We just simply can't handle it. I do, however, believe that if scientific resources were available and actual scientific research were done and funded and given to those with the proper expertise, that there are at least aspects of the UFO phenomenon that we would understand a lot better than we do now.
I absolutely agree with you. It's possible, but it requires a certain structure, as acquiring any profound knowledge of anything does. And I think a lot of these people, particularly the early people, but some people today, they're doing fabulous stuff when you consider the limitations placed on them. They have to earn a living. They've got a family to take care of, blah, 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 blah. The dentist has to be paid. And on top of that, there are still people who are coming up with additional information. The complexity of it, my work is clearly showing that the UFO phenomenon, whatever it actually represents, may in fact represent multiple things, not just one.
Yes.
You know, not
I agree.
Over the last several years.
No, I totally agree also.
Yeah, I agree. There's no one-size-fits-all answer, that's for sure.
Exactly.
I don't think so.
Kurt, you and I were involved in the preparations for one particular UFO conference. We attended others. What's your assessment about it? Are you on the par with the rest of the group here?
Yeah, I think so. I believe that the UFO conference, as we know it, is pretty much a thing of the past. If such a thing is going to be held, it's going to be more in the sense of a gathering of old friends, just to kind of sit down and talk to one another, kind of get reacquainted, and maybe do some brainstorming that way. But I don't think you're going to be able to put together a conference where genuine scientific information is going to be exchanged. You're not going to be able to bring in the kind of people that would be able to impart that kind of knowledge. I think, as Nancy said, this whole thing is incredibly complex. And I think that if an answer is ever forthcoming as to the nature of the UFO phenomenon or a lot of the other paranormal events that are occurring pretty much on a daily basis, I think it's going to come as a side venue of something like quantum mechanics, research into quantum mechanics. And the little bit that I understand of that and the research that's going on there, what they're discovering more and more about the quantum realm, it is incredibly complex, just like the UFO phenomenon, and there could very well be a connection. But none of us here have that kind of expertise, have that kind of intellectual know-how. The people that do are pretty much sequestered away in universities or in research labs doing whatever pocket research they're doing, basically trying to scratch out a living in a small area and then maybe hopefully collaborating with somebody who will be able to create a bigger picture in some area.
And part of the problem also, Kurt, is the fact that for most people in the UFO field, there is no way to make a living. There's no way to cover your expenses and survive.
That's
we have
right,
Jerry Clark,
right.
Nancy Talbot, Rick Hilberg, Kurt Southerly with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Ray Perkins, a reclusive veteran burned out from the Gulf War, lives tortured by relentless, perplexing nightmares. Nightmares of a horrific battle in deep space and of a mysterious woman suffering in agony for her devastated world. A woman not yet born, calling across centuries to him. Then, a coincidence leads him to his destiny, his chance to alter the universe. Attack of the Rockoids. The former fiction editor for Star Wars and Indiana Jones, Robert Simpson, writes, "The soul of the novel Attack of the Rockoids lies in its heart and passion for building a convincing tale of a love that spans a galaxy. A thrilling story. Attack of the Rockoids is available now. Read a sample chapter and get a special discount off of the cover price at our website, rockoids.com. That's rockoids.com. Attack of the Rockoids, a novel in the grand science fiction tradition.
Healthy soils grow healthy plants. So before you plant your survival garden this year, is your soil healthy? Maximize your crisis garden soil with EM1 from Terraganics. EM1 Organic Soil Conditioner, Fertilizer Amendment, and Compost Accelerant provides healthier gardens and faster, efficient garden composting. EM1 from Terraganics.com quickly improves soil structure by increasing nutrient availability and converting organic matter into soil humus. This improves seed germination and root growth, improves plant quality, size, color, flavor, nutrient nutrient value of fruits and vegetables and improves shelf life. And when rain is not in the forecast, no worries. EM1 improves moisture retention in soils, helping reduce drought stress. Just like you prepare all else, prepare your crisis garden for maximum yields with EM1 from Terraganics.com. Order now at TerraGanics.com or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Terraganics. Life's getting better.
That's what it sounds like when a burglar kicks in the door of a dark house that looks like no one is home. Don't let your home be the next target. Make it look like someone is home watching television with Fake TV. Fake TV is a small electronic device that makes the same light as a real television. So from outside, it looks like someone is home watching TV. Fake TV plugs in just like a lamp on a timer, but is far more convincing to burglars. Fake TV deters burglars, costs far less than an alarm, and is highly recommended by numerous police departments. Use it anytime you're away from home. To order your Fake TV for only $34.95, go to faketv.com. Or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. Each additional Fake TV is only $29.95. So get one for you and one for a loved one for safety, security, and peace of mind for both of you. Call 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. FakeTV.com, the burglar deterrent.
What is the most abundant resource on Earth? Water. It's essential for sustaining life. But it's not always the most available. When disaster strikes, water quickly vanishes from store shelves, like it did during 9/11, Katrina, Japan, and in Joplin. 3 days without water and your body begins to shut down. Don't risk being without an abundant supply of water when the next disaster hits. Get a FlowJack hand well pump. The affordable FlowJack drops right into almost any well and is easy to install without having to remove the existing pump, giving you immediate access to plenty of cool, clean water. You could risk your family's health on a limited supply of stored water, or you could be prepared with the reliable, affordable FlowJack backup hand pump kit, delivered to your door for only $3.99 complete. See how it works at flowjack.com, spelled FLOJAK.com. Be sure to spell FLOJAK.com or call 855-4-FLOWJACK. That's 855-435-6525. Proudly made in America. FlowJack hand well pumps. Peace of mind in a box.
This is Hilly Rose, and I hope that you do listen to the Paracast because you will learn a great deal about the paranormal.
We're trying to reform UFO research, or at least figure out what's going on and make it work better.
I have an idea, Gene.
Sure. That's Nancy Talbot, by the way. We also have Kurt Southerly, Jerry Clark, and Rick Hilbert. Nancy, please.
I mean, you guys are going to think I'm crazy, but...
But then you're joining the club. We're all crazy here. You're among friends.
We should all start buying lottery tickets. And if one of us hits, then spread the money around amongst those who are approaching this subject from one point of view or another, trying to include at least four or five different approaches. I'd love to see that. I would love to see that.
Well, you know, you missed out on the $350 million or something that was won this past week. Somebody not far from you, I don't think. They were in Rhode Island.
Oh, really? Maybe I should take a trip to Rhode Island.
It doesn't matter. You just have to play it. You have to be in it to win it, is what the commercials say. I bought a Powerball lottery ticket the previous week when it was... What, $250 million or something like that? I got one number right. There's no hope for me.
I never bought a ticket, but I'm thinking that maybe that's what we need to do. Hey, one of the things that I've learned that I'm certain of now, I did have a close encounter when I was a kid. I think it was the summer I was 14.
Sure, give us some details about it, because you raised it. We might as well probe it.
Well, just the point I'm trying to make here is that I had an experience in my face in daytime in the company of a number of other people before I had ever even heard of UFOs. And because of that, I know that there's something out there called UFOs because it was right there. I did join NICAP way back then because it was the only thing I could find, and tried to inform myself better about whatever in the heck this UFO thing was. And I discovered after a while that, you know, all the NICAP was doing was reporting lots of other people having the same kinds of experiences, but nobody really had any answers. And so I lost interest in the subject, not because I hadn't been intrigued by what happened, but because I saw no way to actually learn anything. And I went on and then, you know, had a life and did other things. And it wasn't until this crop circle thing started and some of the work that we've been doing there, which has been done with real scientists. We've published a number of papers in the scientific literature. We have new stuff that is being done right now. And from this work, what I'm seeing is that there is some kind of an overlap. The UFO subject, and I'm afraid that a lot of people in the UFO field absolutely do not want me to say these things. They don't want to think about this, or they just don't agree. But what I see is that whatever it is that's going on in the UFO phenomena itself, it in itself is multifaceted. And furthermore, there's an overlap with the crop circle situation, with out-of-body experiences, with remote viewing, with poltergeist activity, with all sorts of psychic, you know, and human consciousness studies. I see all of this stuff having a definite interrelationship, and have a feeling that physics and the study of consciousness are the two arenas which are most likely, perhaps, to get us some more reliable, you know, solid information about what all of these subjects represent.
Nancy, I want to ask you quickly about crop circles before we go on. And that is the general perception on the part of a lot of people and a lot of people in the UFO field that crop circles are mostly eccentric artists working out in the farmland.
Are you asking me if I think so?
No, I'm asking you to comment on that.
Well, there are a lot of people in England in particular who find this very amusing or fun or whatever. I don't know what they think. But there are a lot of them that are made by people. And these guys that do it, it's funny, they hang out in the same pubs where all the tourists now go, because there's quite a little business, crop circle business, going on in Wiltshire, England now, and lots of tourists and tour groups and whatever. And they, of course, go to the pubs at the end of the day. And a lot of these guys that do the hoaxing go to the same pubs. They listen to the conversations, and whatever theme they currently hear being talked about a lot, and right now it's the 2012 Mayan thing, you know, then inspires them to create designs which reflect precisely the opinions they've just heard the night before in the pubs. And this is unfortunate because it muddies the water, but the science clearly shows that some of these very elaborate, very, you know, huge, you know, things are as real as many of the very simple ones. It's simply a fact. Some of them are genuine, are not mechanically flattened. And nor, just for those people, the MIT types, where I live, who are constantly telling me that these are military exercises or government people playing games with our heads by projecting microwave radiation from some platform, some satellite, there's absolutely no way to direct microwaves over those distances. It cannot be done. And if, in fact, there were huge platforms which would be required as a generator to produce these microwaves, if they were hovering, for instance, at the height that a helicopter could, you would not only see them, you'd hear them. And this is not the case. There's a real phenomenon, and it does seem to interact with or have something to do with the UFO phenomenon, at least in some cases. Well, it also has something to do with human consciousness.
Nancy, in some cases you have spheres of light that are hovering or flying around the crop circles that have been videotaped. That's correct, isn't it?
I saw one happen in Holland in 2001, right smack outside my bedroom, in the closest growing crop to my bed, which involved three brilliant tubes of light that came crashing down. From my vantage point, they were about a foot, foot and a half in diameter, but perfectly tubular, came screaming down from the sky, scared the dickens out of me, right, and boom, 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 so fast and so powerful and so precise, it made my hair stand up on end. And I, this guy that I work with in Holland, this young medium, he has seen many, many, many of them happen. And they have sometimes involved balls of light, spheres, you know, daytime and night, by the way, not just nighttime. And sometimes they involve literally just flashes of light, like flash cameras going off. There have been a couple other incidents of these tubes of light seen not just by me or by Robert, the guy in Holland, but by other people in the fields. So light phenomena is definitely associated with some crop circles, but not all. You know, what the heck does this mean? It's enough to drive you crazy.
Well, the plants themselves are being affected at a molecular level, are they not? I mean,
people use that word molecular. No, cellular.
At a cellular level? Okay.
There are very clear changes. There has been no DNA work done. One of the things that desperately needs to be done is DNA analysis of the affected plants. I'm wondering if there is, if there are DNA alterations. We don't know this. There are some reasons to think there may be, but the work hasn't been done to prove it yet. The changes which have been proven are on the cellular level. They involve changes in the cell structure as well as in the growth habit. The plants which have been affected in a genuine crop circle reproduce differently from normal plants, very differently.
Now that DNA testing, though, is so relatively inexpensive, isn't that something that could be done now for a few hundred dollars?
I don't know for sure, but okay. I put $450,000 into this, and I'm tapped out. So if there's somebody out there who's got the money to put into this DNA research, I would be very careful to find exactly the right people to do it and spend every cent anybody gave me to do it, because I think it would be productive.
You know, it's productive talking with all these great people. Nancy Talbot, Kurt Southerly, Jerome Clark, Rick Hilberg, and of course you're on with Gene and Chris for one reason. You're in
the Paracast.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter, and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats, I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL. Use the coupon code NIGHTOWL to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
Whether you want to send roses, carnations, whether you've got hundreds to spend or just a little, Farm Fresh Flowers is your place for Valentine's flowers, birthdays, anniversaries. Call right now and save 12% with the code RADIOK. That's Radio K. Go to farmfreshflowers.com, type it in the coupon code, or call them at 800-999-2109. 800-999-2109. Call them now. Farmfreshflowers.com, code RADIOK.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Can heart and body extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using heart and body extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I had very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking heart and body extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for long and healthy life.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you, too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Hi, this is nuclear physicist lecturer Stanton Friedman. You are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
With Gene, with Chris, and a guest of all stars, Rick Hilberg, Jerome Clark, Kurt Sutherly, Nancy Talbot. Chris, we had a few questions in our forums when I announced this show, and maybe one or two are relevant here. Can you drop a few in?
I certainly can. The first couple of questions comes from Sentry, who is a fairly long-standing poster at the Paracast forums. He asked, since Lou was best known for his news clipping service, here's a couple of news questions. I guess this is directed at the group. What are some examples of the best and worst media coverage of UFOs? And is the media's treatment of UFOs any less accurate or biased than their coverage of other topics? Good questions. Anybody want to tackle that one?
I'm not an historian, and I don't know, but it seems that the coverage is much more expansive than it once was because the media responds to, you know, whatever sells papers or whatever, and there are lots of people interested. The quality of the coverage, however, I'll leave to you guys to discuss.
You obviously cannot get into any depth. The news media really can't, with the exception of maybe print journalism. There's not too much I'm not seeing too many, you know, newspapers running UFO items in depth other than just retrospective things. But it's really hard to go in depth. And, of course, we get back to the entertainment factor. And I think that's been our problem for, you know, since the beginning of the UFO era. Is it's news. It's a gee whiz story. It's a, you know, man bites dog sort of thing. And I don't think we're ever going to see any improvement.
Well, you have to look at the history of news media. In the early part of the 20th century, this idea of objectivity in writing a news story came to the fore. I spent an enormous amount of time reading 19th century newspapers, and believe me, it's not an experience like reading the newspapers that we grew up with. So a newspaper story is supposed to, you know, give both sides of the issue and try to discern what truth is there. But that is generally done, but it's done on mainstream issues. If it's a fringe issue, and UFOs are a fringe issue, you take your chances. And since UFOs have never been respectable, or at least not respectable for very long, if they ever were, newspapers tend to treat them in joking fashion, particularly elite papers like the New York Times, Washington Post, Los Angeles Times, also three leading papers in the country. They have no time for UFOs. UFO stories are just a joke. You get get your best news coverage of UFO sightings actually in small local newspapers.
Exactly.
Jerry's exactly right. If I can jump in here a second, I was a reporter at one of those small papers for over 10 years. I was fortunate enough to have a city editor, a man named Rob McNamee, who was a big Canadian. He was a great guy. He was extremely open-minded. And when I came on board first as the night shift police reporter and then later as a day shift reporter, anytime anything like this came up, if there was a report of UFO activity or some other unusual activity, such as, for instance, cougar sightings, which are not supposed to occur, I would approach McNamee, and he would say, take off on it. And he would treat it very seriously, and a lot of times he would run the story front page because, as Jerry pointed out, with the small papers, there is a strong interest. The local community finds this sort of thing interesting, often because they're directly involved in it. The national media, the so-called elite media, they could care less. It is treated as a joke, and Jerry, you're absolutely right about that. They don't want to deal with this subject because the people that fund these papers, that are now in control of these papers, have vested interests, and the fringe activities and fringe phenomena are not part of that. I mean, my God, even slant the politics of the nation to whatever way they suit, they're not going to pay much attention to UFO phenomena.
Can I pipe in here something, too?
Sure.
It also occurs to me, I'm not a conspiracy nut, and I try to stay clear of that as much as I can. However, given what I think anyone who has paid any attention to, let's say, 9/11, or Lord knows how many other incidents recently, is it possible that the owners of the print media have a vested interest in the general public not learning what may very well be these phenomena that we're working with and studying may represent an opportunity for humanity generally to become much more aware and much more effective in running our own lives if we were to become better informed about what is actually going on? And I have wondered if the people who control the media don't on some level either know about that or suspect it, and that could be playing a role in why it is so hard to get simple facts out. Simple facts without any particular theory attached to them, just a fact.
I don't think that's the case.
You don't?
I think that the attitudes expressed in elite media are pretty much characteristic of the attitudes toward these phenomena in those kinds of social and economic circles. But the late Bud Hopkins was a good friend of mine. Wrote a really wonderful memoir toward the end of his life describing his interaction with the people that he knew, including the elites of the culture, at least as the ones on the East Coast. And Bud found just incredible widespread skepticism of UFOs and completely dismissive attitudes. I don't think there's any conspiratorial thinking going on. I think that it's just a general contempt for maybe an obsession of the lower classes and a firm belief that these are just for silly and superstitious.
So basically it's the arrogance of the elite.
Yes.
Running what goes on here rather than any deliberate attempt to maintain control.
At a pure level, I also think it's just profit and loss. If they're selling papers, if they're getting ratings for the TV shows, and they're selling advertising and they're making money, they're happy with anything you give them. Just like, for example, at one time, say, over at CBS News, for example, the news division was part of something in and of itself. Didn't have to earn a profit for the company. It was walled off, a separate entity. And now, of course, it's part of the entertainment division. If the news doesn't deliver the ratings and doesn't deliver the advertising revenues, goodbye.
Some years ago, back in the early part of the last decade, I was invited to appear on an ABC news show, not ABC Entertainment, looking at the UFO phenomenon. And it came about, and the only reason I agreed to appear on it was that Peter Jennings, the late Peter Jennings, had gotten quite intrigued by UFOs, and somehow my encyclopedia had fallen into his hands.
Right.
And he was insistent that I be on the show. And it took some persuading because I don't really like television much anymore. But so I went on the show, and I thought on the whole, I mean, it wasn't perfect, but on the whole, it was a remarkably open-minded presentation of the phenomenon coming from the news division of a broadcast television network. A few days later, after it aired, there was this sulfurous piece by Frank Rich in the New York Times. Now, I've always been a fan of Frank Rich. I always enjoyed reading his column in the Times. But he just went berserk that anybody like Jennings could presume to put such complete nonsense on television. He went on and on and on, and it was just bizarre. He didn't try to deal with any specific claim or bit of evidence that Jennings had presented. He just didn't like the idea that sympathetic attention would be given to UFOs. And I
think that's very typical. Why, Jerry? Why do you think his response was like that?
Because there is a firm and impenetrable conviction in those circles that these things are ridiculous, they're nonsense, and all the people that they talk with tell them that, including their scientist friends, and it's just outrageous that people in the lower orders keep insisting that strange things do indeed happen. It really is fundamentally irrational. If it weren't irrational, the only alternative would be conspiratorial. But I think to accuse them of being involved in a conspiracy is to give them too much credit.
My personal encounters with the media, I'm thinking of this god-awful National Geographic bunch. I mean, they have been given facts, enough facts to sink a damn battleship. And I see, you know I won't do it anymore, but I see what they end up using. And it's so hard for me with things like Nova or National Geographic, some of these more so-called reputable outlets, when I see what they are deliberately leaving out.
I'll say, we can't leave this out, okay? We can't leave this out, Nancy. We have Nancy Talbot. We have Jerry Clark. We have Kurt Sutherly and Rick Hilberg with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you own an Apple iPhone and love to listen to your favorite programs on GCN, I've got good news for you. I'm proud to announce that GCN has a brand new iPhone app available for our dedicated listeners at GCNlive.com. Listen to your favorite hard-hitting GCN programs live or on demand right on your iPhone. And the best part? The GCN iPhone app can be yours absolutely free. Download the iPhone app today by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.